Welcome to the Ortho Joe Show, a joint production of the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery and Ortho Evidence. In our world, orthopedic research is king, and current topics from our respective publications are analyzed weekly. Here is Mohit Bhandari from Ortho Evidence and Mark Swinkowski from the Journal of Bone and Joint Surgery.
Well, good morning, Mo.
Morning.
I'm out here at the Journal office. I got in late last night. Big storm, so the flight was delayed. Sat on the tarmac for 45 minutes waiting for a gate, all that stuff. So I really need the Ortho Joe mug this morning, which is filled with a nice latte. Looks like you've got yours.
Oh, I've got mine, but Bars is the good old Canadian Tim Hortons. So,
To be honest with you, I stopped at Starbucks to fill this up. So, to our guests, you will be getting one of these extremely valuable mugs that you can use in your commute and to listen to the Ortho Joe. So, Mo, we've got an important topic this morning, and that is research into the injured warrior that has been led by the Metric Consortium. And we're going to ask our two guests who have been there, done that, who are at military treatment facilities now and are just leaving, and what they think that this program has done for them and the warriors that they treat. So we have Matt Schmitz, our deputy editor for social media here at JBJS, does a great job. And Matt is a pediatric orthopedist with a special interest in hip. And he's an associate professor at USUS, the military medical school, and is at the Brooke Army Medical Center. And we also have Dr. Patrick Osborne, who was the recently retired chair of surgery at that center and is now out as a trauma surgeon in the Baptist Health System in San Antonio. So just by way of full disclosure for the audience, I actually chair the Data Safety Monitoring Committee for the Metric Consortium. So I'm fairly familiar with all of the research that's been done there. But what I'm mostly interested in is what you two have, who have been deployed, have been out there. What has this research done for your abilities to treat the injured warrior?
Yeah, thanks, Mark. And I should say that Brooke Army has been able to really participate in Metric because of our status as American College of Surgeons, a level one trauma center. So we did have the volume to contribute, and we are able to take that back not only to the civilian population in the local area, but obviously the wounded warriors. And I think the expanse of what Metric has done and looking at critical bone defects, infection, a lot of effort there. And amputations and limb salvage all are obviously applicable to the wounded warrior population. And if nothing else, they generate thought, but I think they've really guided some improvements in treatment, whether it's local antibiotics, options for filling those critical defects, or even something that is anathema to many people is considering amputation more as a treatment as opposed to a salvage. Those all, whether you espouse them entirely or not, they do generate a lot of thought. And I think Metric in this interwar period is really crucial to maintaining that knowledge base and the focus that we usually see lost in that interwar period. Matt?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And you know, Dr. Osborne's been deployed a couple times. I've deployed as well, and trying to take those lessons learned and making sure that we don't forget them is critical. And so it's part of our teaching here at BAMC to make sure as a level one trauma center that we're doing thorough debridements and that we're not just using small incisions to really clean up wounds. Because some of the wounds that we see here at BAMC are just like what we would see downrange, blast injuries, high velocity gunshot wounds. Some of that has made the news recently. And so trying to make sure that we train the next generation of military orthopedic surgeons for whatever that next conflict is. And Metric has been the baseline for that. Also that civilian military collaboration, which is really key in advancing the science.
Matt, can I just ask you to take a step back and for some of the listeners and viewers, just help them understand what Metric is? I think, we're talking about it with the belief that everyone listening understands it, but there's going to be a lot of other listeners who may not be aware of what this group is and really how it functions.
Yeah, I'm actually going to defer that to Dr. Osborne. He's been our site PI for Metric for the last, what, 7 or 8 years here at BAMC.
Yeah, so thanks. So Metric is the Major Extremity Trauma and Rehabilitation Consortium. And so multi-center, pooling patients to look at a variety of issues around trauma, whether it's rehabilitation, acute treatment, in the field treatment, or some of the social or economic impacts. And really, and I think that's another important part to the military of where it goes from the time of injury and the initial treatment through salvage, through rehabilitation, then also looking at the long-term effects, both on a hospital, on society, and certainly on the patient, obviously. And again, that goes back to the wounded warrior type, where it helps give some broader based knowledge of what the lives of these patients are going to be afterwards.
Got it. And the primary source of funding then, Patrick, comes, is it correct, from the U.S. Departments of Defense, or is there other funding sources?
Mark, and you may know this better than I do, but I believe this is all congressionally delegated money through the CDR MRP program or other DOD or federal grants.
Yeah, it is through the Department of Defense, but Metric has to compete for these grants. It's just not awarded directly from the Department of Defense to the Metric Consortium. So there's been, I think, three major grant applications that have gone through that funded this effort over the last 12, 15 years. But it is a competitive grant process that is open to others doing research on these topics. I want to just emphasize that the word rehabilitation has come up, and there are projects that really do focus on rehabilitation techniques. There's one that's underway on the type of approaches for rehabilitation, the tourniquet application to provide ischemia to muscles in patients recovering from femur fracture, blood flow restriction, which has been popular in the sports world. That's being investigated by the Metric Consortium, as is anti-gravity rehabilitation for lower limb trauma and trying to limit the weight bearing while patients recovery. It really is not just treatment. It is the rehabilitation phase, which is very, very important.
Yep. Mark, I was going to make a little plug too. What we've seen, as thankfully we're entering that interwar period where we're seeing less conflict downrange, is the number one threat to soldier readiness or being able to compete in the battle is actually become more of a sports injuries, ACLs, shoulder dislocations. And so the military and DHA, the Defense Health Agency, started what's called the Military Orthopedics Tracking Injuries and Outcomes Network, or MOTION. And this was started by some of my mentors probably about 6 or 7 years ago. And now it's combined not just with orthopedic sports, but also with rehab. And there's over 35,000 patients that have been enrolled with nearly a half a million surveys. And this is on both the surgical standpoint and the rehab, because that rehab is so important. And so when we look at ortho patients, unique patients, there's 12,000 patients enrolled in this, and there's 23,000 rehab patients. And that includes, 5,000 shoulder arthroscopy cases, 5,000 knee arthroscopy cases, and 2,000 hip arthroscopy cases. So this is another kind of multidisciplinary, where we're looking at not just the surgical standpoint, but the rehabilitation afterwards and getting our soldiers back to being ready to fight, whether that's from a trauma standpoint or an orthopedic sports injury standpoint.
Yeah, and I think the rehab part, as Matt mentioned, is very easy to translate to return to duty, back on the battlefield, back in their military military specialty. But obviously, that goes right back to getting somebody back to work at the grocery store or whatever other job they may have. So while this all was driven by DOD research and DOD patients in many cases in mind, the applications beyond DOD and the military are vast.
And it seems Patrick and Matt, that it, because you know, you've used the word that we're between wars, basically, that the priorities shift. So is it always like sort of a changing goalpost on priorities and what research is needed? And I guess the question would be is, as a new priority becomes apparent, how quickly then does Metric respond to that? Is there a process in which you're able to like always be culling new ideas? Because, you know, having done a few trials in my own life, it takes some time. Some of these programs take a long time to complete. So I'm really actually genuinely curious about, you know, sort of the efficiency of getting these questions answered that are often very timely and time sensitive.
Well, I think, and Mark, I think you'll have an opinion on this as well, is anything that this is this large and answering a big question does take time. But in my involvement in Metric, there was almost constantly new ideas being floated up, and those would be vetted, and the appropriate ones for a big multi-center study would make it towards being adopted by Metric. Then you have the grant piece on top of that. And so I think it's about as agile as you can be, but you know, the power of numbers, as was written about by Metric, was it is really without substitute. And it may not be as quickly as we might like some of the answers, but the power of the results, because of this huge group and the effectiveness of how these studies are done, really, in my mind, overcomes a lot of lack of timeliness or maybe being a little bit behind the power curve in the worst case.
Yeah, it's that old adage of trying to steer a slow moving ship, right? But if the funding process, as Mark mentioned, is a competitive, open to civilian and military, and so that process in and of itself, the application process takes well over a year. But it's really critical to have a steering committee or a committee that's forward thinking and trying to develop what the new projects are, and then add on projects as things come up based on the current funding system and data collection that you're doing.
And Mo, I will just say, you know, based on our personal experience in running trials, that to have a consortium like this really does save that first 1 to 2 years where you're trying to sort out which centers are going to have the numbers and which are going to recruit and follow the patients. Because of the large number of trials that have been done by the Metric Consortium, I would say it's bordering on 40 or 50 trials now. Every center has a track record, and when they commit, the steering committee can look at their performance, and that really does save a lot of time. I would guess on a trial, probably saves a year, maybe even a little bit more for every new trial that comes up, which is highly refined because you've got all these very experienced trauma surgeons at a military treatment facilities as well as in the civilian side at level one centers who are weighing in on what the important questions are.
Yeah. No, it makes total sense to me, right? I mean, the future of trials is that, you know, we're getting bigger and bigger in terms of numbers, which means we need more and more centers. And then the question is, how do you make them efficient? You know, efficient in the context of how do we collect data, ways in which we can use remote, collection of data, can we use sensors and all those kind of things that, you know, can make things faster so we're not spending the extra cost, which is a big part of it, but also the time. So you're right. I think it always starts with a group of committed individuals. So, I mean, I think Metric, as far as I can recall, I think it was probably 2003, 2004 that I started hearing a lot about Metric. So it's short of two decades almost now that they've been, you know, functioning, you know, in a great, can you speak a little bit about the growth? I mean, back then, I remember there was a few centers. Has it stayed stable or is there a, sort of, do you get a sense of, are there centers, more centers coming on board, some centers moving away?
Patrick, you might have the most up-to-date input there.
Yeah, I think to at least as long as I've been following it, I think the number of centers maybe has had some slow growth. It's always been around 40. I'm not sure of the exact count right now, but it always, you've always had a very big core of some centers that are always going to participate and put up big numbers. And again, with BAMC being, Brooke Army being the only level one trauma center for DOD, having an MTF, a military treatment facility, participating in the study has been very important to a lot of these going through. And so we've participated in 20 by my count over the past years. And so we're very proud to be in that top 10 of contributors. But I think overall, the group has been pretty stable with new upcoming centers. And it goes back to money and do you have the research support and things like that to really be meeting the expectations of the consortium.
If I could maybe put, and I think you may have already alluded to it, Patrick, in your opening statement around kind of, you know, the kind of research that Metric's been doing. But if I were to ask both of you to at least reflect on where you see right now the key priority areas of focus, areas where you think questions need to get answered or questions that Metric is aiming to answer, how would you respond to that?
From my standpoint, I think rehab is really a huge part of this. And novel ways of doing rehab, as you mentioned, cutting costs. You know, does this need to be more of a patient-centered or home exercise-based way of doing things? Because, you know, time is money and time is at a premium, and compliance is related to the amount of time that a patient has. And so how do we do that effectively? I think novel things like Mark mentioned with the repair study on blood flow restriction for femur fractures, other fractures, and using some of those novel things like pedometers and things like that to really track data. To me, that really makes a huge leap forward potentially in how we do things. I think Prevent Clot is another one that has been great and has real potential to change how we do things. I don't think anybody will ever answer the VTE question completely. But boy, if we can cut costs, if we can do things just as effectively with something that's cheap and easy and more compliance is seen, then that's a huge move forward. And I think there will always be ways to look at, you know, how do we treat bone defects? How do we treat infections better with nanotechnology, whatever it might be? Those will always remain key impact areas of Metric. But I think rehab, and again, as I mentioned too, the psychosocial aspects, what the costs are, and how that generates, you know, efforts at prevention, and efforts to improve the entire continuum of care.
Yeah, I'd echo that and say, you know, we still don't have an answer for some of the major injuries, the infections. The infections still occur. And so in large groups like this, perhaps you can tease out better data. But moving forward, the concept of limb salvage versus amputation and the rehab factors associated with that, the psychosocial aspects that are associated with that, what can we learn from our service members and then take that over to our civilian counterparts as well that sustain some of the same injuries with motor vehicle collisions, et cetera. And so I think those are unique things, but at the same time, you know, we can't forget the bone defects and the infections that are huge issues from a patient perspective, but also from a surgeon perspective and trying to get good outcomes for these patients.
Well, let me perhaps end this very informative discussion with a tough question for you two. If you had to pick one or two things that have come out of the Metric work that have really changed practice, what would you say is that one or two things? Patrick?
I think from my standpoint, you know, the outlet study was very interesting to me because I think there are two big schools on, you know, limb salvage at all costs versus a potential early discussion of amputation as a way forward for some of these patients. And that's very difficult. And certainly in the military population, it's been somewhat fraught with uncertainty because, you know, you get real high end amputee care, but does that go is it perpetuated throughout a patient's life? And so, you know, I think putting out there that hey, amputations are something that need to be considered early or can be for the right patient to me was something that really helped. Somebody like me, who my upbringing was more, hey, that deserves the conversation at least. And to a lot of people, that was not something that was really talked about until the very end. And I think that's okay. And I think that helps us work through with our patients. And again, I think any of the rehab studies that Metric is doing are potential breakthroughs. And I think things that are more efficient and really involve the patient and keep that patient involved in looking at those options is a huge potential benefit down the line.
I think that the rehab component and the, again, trying to moving from looking at just an injury to the actual patient incorporation of that injury and what their specific outcome is going to be, because two grade 3C tibia fractures can be two completely different outcomes based on the patients, and looking at as using an amputate, that whole concept of amputation versus limb salvage. And there's no clear algorithm for that. There probably will never be a clear algorithm for that, but the patient's impact and the patient's participation in that is really important moving forward. And I think we'll continue to see that data come out of future studies.
Well, those are two very, very salient answers. For me, I would put way up there the use of vancomycin powder in preventing a deep infection. I think that study from the Metric Consortium has really changed practice in trauma surgery. Mo, you have any last questions for our esteemed guests?
No, I mean, I was just going to say that, you know, we could keep talking, but I know our time, unfortunately, has to come to an end. The one thing I would say is just another real vote of congratulations to both, you know, Dr. Schmitz and Osborne for, first of all, you know, giving us insight onto Metric, but also, you know, to the field, you know, the field that is orthopedics and particularly in trauma, you know, moving, you know, this idea of collaborative programs together way before I think a lot of other subspecialty areas took it on. So we've seen a lot of other groups grow because of the models that Metric has sent. And I think for that, that's an impressive outcome in, you know, outcome in itself.
Yeah, thanks. And I would say to our listening and viewing audience that take a look at Metric work throughout the literature. It's available to you, certainly in the journal and in other journals, and take a look at what's been produced by this very active consortium, because it really has changed the practice and will continue to do so, I think, for the foreseeable next decade at least. So, and thanks to our guests for participating. You'll get one of these fabulous Ortho Joe mugs for your commute very shortly in the mail. And we wish you all the best today and in your careers in and out of the MTF. So cheers.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks,
Mo. Thanks, everyone.
Take care.
All right.